Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2008 Home Education Conference held in Virginia Beach, Virginia.
This lecture is on the adult phases of learning. It's actually one of my all-time favorite subjects, so I'm very excited about this. I'm hoping that all of you are very familiar with the phases of learning. I'm going to give you a little test now. Who can tell me what the first phase is?
Core,
okay. And our ages on core?
0 to 8,
okay. What's the next one? And the ages?
12.
Okay.
Scholar?
12 to 18. Depth? Okay. Yeah, and then it's mission and impact. Okay, what is the margin of error, give or take what? Depends on who's speaking, right? 90, 100. There's always laughing that goes on whenever we put the margin of error up, but really, it's kind of funny because we laugh about it, but then we secretly feel guilty because we truly believe that all adults should be in scholar depth or mission, right? I mean, isn't it embarrassing to be 50 years old and in core phase? So we secretly believe that adults should be in a certain phase. And shouldn't they? I mean, they're adults, for goodness sake. Shouldn't they be in scholar phase? So we can talk all day long about how we know there's this, give or take 90 years, but it's really difficult because we grew up on the conveyor belt, right? And we have this problem. We are age-centered and group-centered, and we still look at other people and want to move with other people, because that's what we were taught, right? To look, am I keeping up with everybody else? Okay, so it's really hard to lose that bit of comparison. It's funny, because kids usually know where they are. You give them the phases, and they go, oh yeah, I'm in love with learning, because they don't have that pride issue we do, or we think we should be somewhere that we're not, because we're comparing. I'm just going to get this out right now. Leadership education is about inspiration and emulation. Comparison is not found in leadership education. There's no room for comparison in leadership education. If you are comparing, you are on a different track. You're doing something else, not leadership education. So you're going to have to just get comparisons out of your brain. This is about personal education. It's about your education. It has nothing to do with anybody else other than you're inspired because somebody else is learning something. That's about all you can do as far as looking at other people, is be inspired by them and see maybe the cause of an effect of bad choices in their life, but there's no room for comparisons. And one of the problems we have is that we look at Thomas Jefferson because he's the guy we hold up as the epitome of leadership education, right? And we think, it's just not fair. I didn't get that when I was young. And we always look at that and we feel jealous. So I want us to look at somebody else. Let's turn to his first mentor, Peter Jefferson, his father. Peter did not have the benefit of any type of formal education that we're aware of. He grew up on the colonial frontier here in Virginia. He spent much of his youth outdoors. He came from English yeoman stock and carried on the tradition of being a very hard worker. When he came of age, his first priority was to get land. In Virginia, if you didn't have a family connection to the aristocracy, it was imperative to gain social standing by acquiring property. He needed to be a landowner, and in a few years, he was in possession of over 1,000 acres, and he set out to build a house called Shadwell to bring up his family in. He worked hard to become a good businessman. He taught himself the fine points of accounting, surveying, and map making. Thomas Jefferson was also a good surveyor, and he learned this skill from his father. Peter spent most of his young life working and trying to care for his growing family. Is this sounding slightly familiar? But he never let his lack of formal education keep him from doing what he needed to do. Thomas said his father's education had been quite neglected. But being of a strong mind, sound judgment, and eager after information, he read much and improved himself. One biographer recorded, it appears that Thomas Jefferson saw his father reading incessantly. Though he was no great philosopher, Peter was still able to inspire his son to follow his example and to love learning. Peter collected a few books and created a small library, which included Shakespeare and the Bible and a few other works. And he allowed his children to use these books. At night, he taught his children penmanship, which is interesting because Thomas Jefferson did the same thing at night with his grandchildren, taught them penmanship, and his veneration of books and love of mathematics. Peter did more than just teach his children from books. He made sure that his sons spent many hours outdoors enjoying the wonders of nature. It was during these times that Thomas Jefferson learned to ride a horse, which is important because later on in his intense study times, in order to clear his brain, he would go ride his horse for a few hours. One biographer noted that young Thomas Jefferson learned the delights of a naturalist familiar with animal and plant life in the forest from his father. Tom learned to swim and ride, fish and stalk game through the Southwest Mountains. So without the luxury of a leadership education in his youth, Peter Jefferson acquired the education necessary in his adult years. And he was able to inspire his children, and he was able to become a great leader in his community. He died at a relatively young age. He was 49. But he left a strong handprint on Virginia, and more importantly, upon his children. One biographer related, as long as Thomas Jefferson lived, he believed that the most powerful influence on his young life had been undoubtedly his father. And he wrote and spoke of him with admiration. I thought that was really interesting. Here's this person that we hold up as the greatest leader, you know, and he really had the great education, and yet, who was the one that had the most impact on his life? A father who received his education as an adult. So, is gaining a leadership education possible? Absolutely. Is it really hard? Absolutely. It's even harder when you're trying to do a bunch of other things at the same time, like take care of a family and run a business. There was one thing that Peter didn't have that we have to deal with, and that is the conveyor belt hang-ups, which we're going to have to spend a lot of time getting rid of. But once we do, we'll be able to be basically as quick as Peter Jefferson was in getting our education. One of the things that we have because of our conveyor belt hang-ups is this little problem. We learn about leadership education, and we think, yeah, I'm all about this. And we hear core phase, and we think, good, I've got that. And we learn about love of learning and think, oh, that sounds fun, but I've got way too many things I've got to do. And so we jump into what we think scholar phase is, because we should be there, and then something happens to us. We get one of three maladies, I call them. We either burn out, which is basically what happens when you think you're doing scholar phase and you try and do everything at once and you can't do any of it and you feel like a failure, you just stop and you just burn out and just think it's impossible. You can't really do this all at once. And you kind of get soured on your education a little bit. Or you get phase envy. This is when you secretly want to be in scholar phase but you don't think you can do it, but you just envy everybody else who's doing it. It looks so neat, but you're just going to kind of not do anything, but just dream about doing scholar phase. And then it mutates into phase guilt, because you think you should be in scholar phase. People come up to me all the time, I know I should be in scholar phase, but, you know, I just think, what is that? What is that? It's this phase guilt that you've conjured up for yourself. Or you buy into the myth that them, not me, will still get you leadership education. And it is a myth. You cannot give your children something that you don't have. So you will give your children whatever you have. And if you are modeling conveyor belt education while trying to give them leadership education, they will get conveyor belt education. That's just how it works. So if you're forcing yourself into a phase that you do not belong in yet, then Thomas Jefferson education will fail in your home. I know that's strong, but it's true. Because force and requiring doesn't happen in education, in leadership education. So, here's what happens when you're requiring yourself too much, when you're forcing yourself into a phase. You will model for your children that they must force themselves into phases that they don't belong in. Or you will end up forcing them into phases that they don't belong in. So, That's what's going to happen. So this is about adult phases, you not them, raw and unplugged. Okay? This is about you not them only. It's about your education. So when we're talking about core phase, well, actually, I'm talking about phases at all. I don't want you to think about activities, because that's usually how we describe the phases, right? We're talking about the activities that children do. And that works for kids because they can pick out where they are really fast. It doesn't work very well for us because when we think play Legos, it just doesn't work for us, you know? So I'm going to talk about the phases in a little different way. I'm going to talk about skills. I'm going to talk about habits and principles to help us understand what the phases really are about. So you can see where you are not. So you can be happy with where you are. When we talk about core phase, we talk about right, wrong, good, bad, true, false, right? What we're really saying is we're building a spectrum of truth. And that spectrum in core phase looks very different than a spectrum usually looks. In core phase, your spectrum is all about the ends. Right, wrong, good, bad, true, false. You find an authority. Hopefully that authority is God. That's who it should be. So you find an authority, you use God and the scriptures, and you create your spectrum of truth. What is true? What is false? What is good? What is bad? What is right? What is wrong? And you put it on the ends of the spectrum. Now later on, you'll fill things in between. But for core phase, we're putting things on the ends of our spectrum. We're learning how to find what answers are through the scriptures and through the spirits. That's what we're learning. Now, when children are young, they very instinctively do this, right? He's a good guy, he's a bad guy, right? Or that guy is smoking, that's bad, huh, mommy? I mean, and they sometimes do it in embarrassing ways. But they have put things on the ends of their spectrum, right? You do it too when you're in core phase. Like, this is good, this is bad. You do it with homeschooling and public schooling, right? You can do it with being a vegetarian or being a meat eater. You can do it with going to a regular doctor or a homeopath. You can do it with immunizations or not immunizing. You can do it with home birth or not home birth. I mean, you do it with all these different things. This is right, this is wrong. We put them on the ends of our spectrum. We make them part of good, bad, right, wrong, true, false. They probably are more in the middle, but in core phase, they go to the ends. We do it with people, too. We do it with politicians. We do it with authors. You hear about Victor Hugo, you read Les Mis, and you think he's a good guy, and then you find out he committed adultery after he wrote Les Mis, and you think he's a bad guy. You just kind of put him at the ends. Now, it's not super diplomatic at all. Realize that you're going to probably move some of these things in other phases, so you may not want to scream how you think about being a vegetarian or having a home birth. Or whatever it is. You may want to just kind of keep some of those things very quiet. Realize you may be changing those opinions as far as where they are in the spectrum a little bit later. Another aspect of core phase is relationships. When children play, they work on relationships. They realize that when they hit their sister, there are consequences. Not just mom's upset, but so is sister. And saying I'm sorry doesn't always fix it. So they learn how to deal with relationships. We do the same thing in core phase as adults. We learn to deal with relationships, whether it's our relationship with our spouse, with our mother-in-law, with our friends, with our children. We work on relationships. It's not about, hitting your sister. It's about getting over resentment because you were hurt or betrayed, learning how to forgive. Many people think, I can kind of bypass the fact that I'm having a horrible relationship with my husband and just get into learning. And they kind of escape into books. But guess what? If your relationships at home are not in a workable order, very little learning is going to happen. You have got to deal with relationship issues. If you're in core phase, you're there for a reason. Deal with the relationships. And realize, if you were ever in a hate of learning, and think of how many people have been in a hate of learning or are in a hate of learning, that means there's a lot of people going to be passing through core phase. So do not feel like you're the only one if you're in core phase. There's a lot of people with you. You are in great company, okay? So being in core phase is just fine. It's a good thing. Get these relationship issues finished. Get them, get them to a workable order so you can get on in your studies. When children work, they're learning order. They're learning prioritization. They're learning about how, you know, we do certain things in our bedroom at certain times, whether, you know, we make our bed when we get up or whatever it is. They learn to do things in order. They learn to keep things in order, whether it's weeding the garden or taking care of the bathroom or folding the laundry, whatever it is. They're learning about order. We do the same thing. We need to learn about order because we know that God's house is a house of order. We cannot learn amidst chaos. It's very difficult. So we need to have things in order. By the way, books that are really important to people in core faith have to do with relationships in order. Whether it's books on finance or building a business or whatever it is, or whether it's like Bonds That Make Us Free or The Peace Giver or The Five Languages of Love, or those kinds of, those are the books that core phasers are drawn to, the ones that can help them with relationships and can help them with order. Now realize that I'm not saying you have to be perfect. Your relationship must be perfect before you move on. Because look, if I'm teaching a skill of writing to a 9-year-old, I'm teaching her the skill. She's not going to be perfect as a writer until she's, you know, in her 50s, if I'm teaching her at 9. So realize that when you're learning these things in core phase, you're learning skills. You're learning habits. When someone hurts you, what is your habit in dealing with that? You're working on habits. Habits of finance. Habits of house cleaning. Habits of management with your employees. You're working on habits. And you're gaining skills. So you don't have to be perfect at it. You just have to have it workable. And you'll find that as you're working on these relationships in order and you're building your spectrum of truth and you're working on your relationship with God, that all of a sudden, you're in the love of learning and you didn't even notice. It just happened and you're there because you worked on the things that were most important. And it's true that, I mean, really, it's not like it's a continuum. It's not like we're always going to be in core phase, right? You can sometimes see it done like the planet, or the apple, or however you want to do it, where this is core phase, and we add love of learning, we add scholar phase. So you're technically always going to be firming up your core phase. But when you're in core phase, you're creating the thing to firm up, right? So you may be redoing and recreating some habits that you'll go back and revisit later to make sure that it, you know, they're really solid. And you will. You'll revisit core phase quite often and work on relationships now and then, but you'll do it with different skills. You may do it with love of learning skills or scholar phase skills, but right now you're doing it with core phase skills. And then, like I said, all of a sudden you'll find yourself in love of learning. Now, love of learning, we talk about children flitting from flower to flower. They're into swords today and dolphins tomorrow. And you're probably thinking, never really want to study dolphins. It's not usually what adults are going to be doing, into swords or whatever it is. But you will be discovering. You will be searching and finding things that you're good at. Mark Twain said something I think is totally about about love of learning. He says, 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things that you didn't do than by the ones you did do. So throw off the bowline, sail away from the safe harbor, catch the trade winds in your sails, explore, dream, and discover. That's what love of learning is. You start doing all those things that you were kind of afraid of because you may not have done it really well when you were young, but you try it out as an adult and you do it pretty well. I remember I was an awful artist as a child. Drawing was never my thing. I always loved art, but I could never really do it. And so I assumed that I would be a spectator my whole life, just looking at other people's art. And then one night I had this dream that I needed to paint a painting for my parents' 25th wedding anniversary. Well, I needed to have a painting, and I knew I couldn't afford to commission it, so I had to paint it myself. And I thought, well, I'm going to have to learn how to paint then. So I took a class in watercolor, and I discovered I can paint. I had no idea. I just assumed, because I couldn't draw very well, that I obviously wouldn't be able to do anything else that was even remotely, you know, associated with art. But I loved it. I loved painting, and I wasn't horrible at it. I actually could do it, and it looked like the thing I wanted it to look like. In fact, sometimes my mom actually calls me on the phone and asks me, so when are you going to get it into watercolor again? You have such a talent there. I think, me? I have a talent there. That's amazing. I would have never found it had I not tried it again. So in love of learning, if you're in love of learning, then just try things out. It's a time for discovery. What are you good at? Often when people ask me about, like, oh, I need to find out more about how do I discover my mission or what my mission is all about. And so I ask them, so what are you good at? And they go, well, nothing really. I mean, this happens all the time. I have some talents, I'm sure, but nothing like Nothing that jumps out. I mean, that's more than just modesty. Often we have a hard time figuring out what we really are good at because we haven't played around with a lot of things. We've been kind of maybe pigeonholed into a few different areas. We may have shown some prowess as a child in a certain area, and we just thought that's the way we should go. And we haven't tried other things. So this is a time for just playing around with things. Now, there will be a flitting that will happen, jumping from one thing to another. I had a love of learning student at George Wythe College that I mentored. He drove me crazy because he could never stay on task. He was so not in scholar phase. It was all about love of learning. He would, you know, he'd be reading Emerson's essays, and the next thing he'd know, I just couldn't stop. I had to stop reading Emerson's essays. I had to read this and that. And then I'm thinking, oh my gosh. It's because he couldn't get Emerson's essays. But he didn't have a base of knowledge to even understand what Emerson was saying. He had to stop and learn other things. That's what love of learning is about. It used to drive me crazy until I realized it's love of learning. He needs a base. He needs to create this base and foundation for scholar phase, and you usually stop when you get to the point where it just doesn't click, and you go to something else. I used to try out languages like women try out purses. I mean, I was like, I'm going to study French, and as soon as it got to conjugating, I went to Spanish, and I just went from language to language to language, because me and conjugation, it just never clicked. I just never could get it. And all of a sudden, one day, my husband was like, you're going to get it with Italian. I'm like, no, it just never happens. I just don't learn languages. And then he taught me. All of a sudden, I was like, I'm conjugating. Oh, my gosh, I'm conjugating. I could learn a lot of languages this way. I mean, all because I just needed to get past a certain point. Now, what happened in love of learning, where you just need to get past a certain point, and then you can get back into it. So you're not a quitter when you stop doing something, and neither are your children. I had an email from someone that said, my family always calls me a quitter because I start projects and I never finish them. Now, some people really are quitters, but this person was saying, I got into it and realized I couldn't do it the way I wanted to do it. I need to learn this other thing. They were in love of learning. They just kept going to the other things, and later on, some people finish. They'll finish the things that are really important to finish. I was reading this article by a professor, actually, who said he had a room full of books, and he admitted that he read parts of a lot of them. He had about 6 books going at a time, and he'd read, and then he'd stop and read something else. And it went on for years like this. And then all of a sudden, one day, he desired to finish. And he knew which books he wanted to finish, because he had read enough of parts of books to know what was a good book and what wasn't worth his time. And so then he went in and had a desire to finish the books he had started. So what you may not finish in love of learning, you will, if it's important, in scholar phase. Do not worry. Allow yourself the ability to move on to other things. I'm going to give you the permission to not finish books, but let me just tell you this. You may want to flit and flit from expensive things. You may buy all of the things needed for oil painting and then decide that calligraphy is your thing. You may want to just be careful. Adult flitting is far more expensive than children flitting. So unless you want to have some kind of spouse relationship problem with finances, just be really careful before you jump hog wild into cake decorating. Just kind of do it little bits at a time. Try and find some cheaper things to kind of play around with, too. Something I want to make sure that you do in love of learning is to structure your time and not your content. I know this is one of those things we say it all the time, structure your time, not your content. But all of a sudden, we start structuring our content like, I've got to read that book, and I've got to read that one, and I've got to finish this, and I've got to do that. That's structuring your content. See how that works? That stack of books you have on your nightstand, structuring your content, just in case you're wondering what that is. You need to structure your time. You say, I'm going to study for 2 hours in the morning before the kids get up, or 2 hours at night after the kids go to bed, or whenever it is, in the afternoons when they're playing. And then when that time comes, you say, what's interesting today? I'm going to study this. And the next day, you don't say, I have to finish what I did yesterday. You say, what do I want to do today? What I did yesterday or something else? You structure your time and not your content. So that stack of books, put them away. You don't have to keep the stack on the nightstand anymore. If you want to read the book every day, you choose to read that particular book because you want to. It's love of learning. You desire to do it, then you do it. It's going to be different in scholar phase. We're not there yet. So we're talking love of learning, structure your time, and not your content. I also think you need to get a commonplace book. This is a notebook. Could be a spiral-bound notebook or a nice, expensive leather-bound number or anything in between, whatever you want to do. Whatever makes you happy to be able to write in something, you get a book to write your thoughts, to write your ideas that come to you when you're studying, to rewrite a paragraph that you didn't understand when you were reading, to write your opinion about, I think this guy is completely off his rocker, or to say, this was awesome, I love da-da-da-da-da-da. Whatever it is, you write your feelings about what you're studying, whether it's a book or a piece of music or a piece of art or a math problem or whatever it is, you write your feelings and your thoughts, your ideas that come with your studies. Maybe you write comparisons like, oh my heavens, I just found that this thing in Robinson Crusoe is just like this thing in this other book. Or, you know, whatever it is, I just found a math problem in the scriptures. My mom called me, I found a math problem in the scriptures. She was so excited. That tying together of things, the making connections and things. That's what love of learning, you begin doing that love of learning, you'll carry that through into scholar in depth. Another thing that's very important in love of learning are groups. Now, as adults, you may have groups in core phase. They'll look a little bit different, and you probably won't meet very often. It'll be very sporadic. But in love of learning, that's when the groups really start coming into play, and you'll use them a lot in scholar phase. But the way that groups work in love of learning is that you need to have a group of people that you can talk to and that you can get excited about new things with. So you may hear about someone saying, I just tried soap making. And you think, that's awesome, I had never thought about soap making. And then you try that thing, or I just learned Latin and it's amazing. You can totally understand your language and my husband's, you know, he knows Spanish and la-da-da-da-da. And so somebody all of a sudden gets you excited about Latin. Being in a group gets your mind going into places you had never thought of before. In addition, it also helps you begin to see other perspectives. I mean, you know that when you got married, you brought two very different perspectives to every problem now. You add three more couples and you've got all those perspectives. So discussion can get very exciting when you have people from varied backgrounds. Now, it's not going to get really deep and meaty necessarily in love of learning, but you're going to enjoy that, the different kinds of perspectives. And this is where you start, like I said, plotting things differently on your spectrum of truth. You may think, this is how my family has always done it. This is the way we fold towels, or whatever it is. This is how you do it. And it goes on your spectrum as the right thing to do. And you get married and you realize, he folds towels differently. And it's not bad. It's okay. We can fold towels in half and half again, not in thirds. It's okay. So, you know, that's a very silly example, but that happens when we get married. We learn that things that we thought were on the spectrum as absolutes are actually probably more, there's more nuances than we thought. And the same thing will happen in a discussion group with people from a lot of different backgrounds. You may want to take a class. There are a lot of classes that are offered by communities, either at the community center or community colleges or whatever it is, but I don't want you to worry about a degree program necessarily or worry about credit. Those are scholar phase worries. You just want to take things that are interesting. This class on perennial gardening, or this class on algebra, or this class that's specifically on astronomy. You just take classes that are interesting to you. And you don't worry about doing everything that's been asked for you in the class. You just do the things that you know you're capable of doing. You don't want to burn out at this point. As you do this, as you enjoy these different classes, you'll get inspired by other people who are in those classes. Hopefully you'll be in classes with people who are maybe in other phases or further along in love of learning. I taught a class in San Diego, and it was mainly scholar phase people, and I had two love of learners in it. And I was a little bit worried because I knew the discussion was going over their heads. And afterwards, both of them came to me separately and said, that was so awesome, totally over my head. But I was thinking, I can't wait till I can think thoughts like that. It just makes me want to go home and read books and study. So, you know, don't be overwhelmed and think and start comparing yourself to other people. But if you allow yourself to be inspired by other people, then those groups are fabulous. In addition, when you're in groups or studying or whatever it is, you begin to see glimpses of what you're good at, and you begin to have this feeling that wells up inside of you, this feeling that says, I'm going to do something great, and I am so not prepared. I've got it. Oh my heavens, I've got to study. It's this feeling. It's not like you know exactly what your mission is. Like, I'm now going to do this and this. It very rarely comes to you in a vision. This is what my mission is. It comes to you in a feeling, a sense. I have something very important to do in this life. I have got to get prepared. And it's that feeling, that sense, that makes you want to do the hard work that scholar phase calls for. That's what propels you in the scholar phase. Now, when we talk about scholar phase, we usually just talk about long hours of study. 8 to 10 hours a day, you know, 6 days a week for 11 months of the year, we talk about these long hours. And yes, it's true that stamina is a part of scholar phase, but that's not the only picture we can draw of scholar phase. I mean, I can give you kids that are not in scholar phase that can play Legos for 8 hours a day. You know what I mean? It's not like it's hours that create a scholar. And some people tell me, well, I'm in scholar phase in this thing, but I'm in love of learning in this, and you know they think that because they've studied something for a long period of time, that that's a scholar phase thing, and that something that they haven't studied very much in is a love of learning thing. That's not how it works. We're in phases to learn certain skills and habits and ways of thinking, and when we move to the next phase, we now learn things with new habits, new skills, new ways of thinking. So you are either in a phase or you're not. Does that make sense? You can't, just because you're studying for long hours, doesn't make you a scholar phaser all of a sudden. When you learn to think in a scholar phase way, then you're in scholar phase. It reminded me when I went to graduate with my doctorate. Every time I went to graduate, Dr. DeMille would have to talk me into it because I never felt like I deserved to graduate. I don't have what I want to have. You know, I kept thinking that I should have this thing happen to me when I became, you know, have a master's degree or a doctorate degree or whatever it is. And I remember when I went in to talk to him about getting the doctorate, I said, no, I'm not graduating this time. I'll tell you that right now. And he kept saying, no, you really are ready. And I'd say, no. I mean, people who say, you know, doctor so-and-so, they're like, phew. And I'm like, phew. So, you know, it's completely different. And he said, look, do you study differently than you did when you had a bachelor's degree? And I said, well, yeah. Do you study differently than you did when you were a master's student? Yes. Then now you're a doctoral student. See, you now study differently. And I thought, oh, it's not about having a thing of knowledge. It's about how we study. That was, I was like a revelation. I had no idea that's what this was about. So when you go through these phases of learning, it's how you tackle problems. Because you're going to be dealing with relationship issues your whole life. How do you tackle those? Do you tackle them with core phase skills, love of learning skills, scholar phase skills, depth skills? You do them with different things. So that's, remember, these are phases that we go through, not activities that we do. Now, having said that, there will be a lot of study and a lot of hours. Just get used to that. And how do you do that when you're a parent? Very creatively. When you think, oh, there is no way I'm going to be able to get my education, think how farmers got their education the time the Federalist Papers were written, because they could read the Federalist Papers and understand them. So they were getting an education, and running a farm takes a lot of time. If anybody here is a farmer, it takes a lot of time. So how did they do it? Well, they would study at night and think about it all day long. So you may only have 2 hours of study time, but you have a lot of thinking time. There's times when you're doing dishes or feeding the kids or whatever it is, and you can be thinking about what you're learning, and that is study. It's not about having your nose in a book. It's about thinking. It's about learning to think and think thoughts and make connections. So use your other time that you're doing other things to think. If you're driving your kids from place to place, you can have a book on tape in the car, or you can just think. You can have things, you know, book on tape playing or whatever, having a child read to you while you're doing different things that you have to do about the house, or you can just think. We don't ponder enough in our society. We usually have things playing, you know, music or whatever it is. We need to think more. When a farmer was plowing a field, he was thinking about what he had been reading. We know that Joseph Smith read a certain scripture one night and thought about it as he was working. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. It wasn't like it was just when he was in the scriptures. He thought about it. He pondered it. We need to ponder more. We need to utilize our other time throughout the day that we think we're too busy and allow ourselves to think. Now realize that there's other skills that you're going to be picking up in scholar phase, such as reading for meaning and not for plot. I think it's totally okay in scholar phase, if you're reading a piece of literature, a piece of fiction, to hurry and find out what the plot is. You can just get it out of your mind. Now you can actually read the book for meaning. I know that it takes the fun out of it, but really, in Love of Learning, you should have kind of already read for plot, and now you're reading for principles. You're looking for principles. You're looking for connections. You're asking yourself questions, and you're trying to answer those questions. You're using your commonplace book. You're trying to teach it to some. You're trying to discuss it with people. Will Durant, the author of the Story of Civilizations, big volumes of all of the history since Greco-Roman times, he said, read actively, not passively. Consider at every step whether what you read accords with your own experience and how far it may be applied to the guidance of your life. Make notes of all passages that offer help towards the reconstruction of your character, not someone else's character, or the achievement of your aims, and classify those notes in such a way that they may at any moment and for any purpose be ready to your hand. So you're going to look past what you normally see for symbols, for principles, for meaning. You're going to learn to write. You're going to learn to discuss. Scholar phase is a time to do things that are hard. If public speaking has always scared you, in scholar phase, you want to do it. I know it freaks you out now, but really, there will come a point where you want to have an oral exam. You beg for it. I've had students beg me, can you give me an oral exam every single day? But it makes you cry. I know, but I want it. I want it every single day. They want to do things that are hard. They want a mentor to tell them, this is where your hole is. You need to work on this area. And I know it scares you, but you've got to get it done. They want to have that in their life. Because they want to be ready. I love this quote by Bruce C. Hafen about the problems of staying in core phase and not moving to the things that are hard. He says, I know that some BYU students and other members of the church are too trusting, too reliant on authority figures, and they expect the Holy Ghost to do their thinking for them. We must rouse them from their dogmatic slumbers, teaching them to love the Lord with all their heart, might, mind, and strength. They need education that liberates them from the ignorance and superstition, developing the tough-minded independence on which self-reliant people and democratic societies utterly depend. We move them from dogmaticism through healthy skepticism towards a balanced maturity that can tolerate ambiguity without losing the capacity for deep commitment. By example, as well as precept, we teach how to ask good, even searching questions, how to trust, how to know of ourselves. In conclusion, let me just share, I'm not going to go into depth in mission and impact. Most of us are going to be dealing with core Love of Learning and Scholar. You can go to Dr. DeMille's newest book, Leadership Education Through the Phases of Learning, and he'll give you all the detailed things about the other phases. But let me just share this warning with you. You are going to hit some major crises in your life, and it's usually right when you're trying to hunker down and study. That's when the pipes break, your kids need braces, or you just found out you're pregnant, or whatever it is. You're going to have a lot of crises. Other crises like changing employment, moving, having a baby, sickness, injury, death in the family, divorce, all these things cause crisis. And when they do, you need to return to core, meaning that you need to revisit the things that are most important. When I had my first baby, 2 months later, I was feeling so guilty. And I thought I was so weak because I just figured I should be able to have a baby and get right back into depth phase. I mean, come on. I've been waiting for having a baby for years. I had waited so long to get married. I'd been planning on this whole thing that I should be able just to snap out of it. And here I had a very sick baby. And I was having some major nursing problems. And we were in the middle of a huge remodel. And we had moved out of our house because we ripped out the kitchen and the bathrooms. And I was living in my sister-in-law's house that she was trying to sell that basically had a couch, a bed, and whatever I brought the day that I came home from the hospital, like my suitcase and a bassinet and some baby gifts. And that's where I was living. And my life was in complete chaos. But I kept feeling guilty that I wasn't in depth phase. I wasn't learning languages. I wasn't studying hard things. And it hit me one day. I tell people all the time that when they're in a crisis, they revisit core, the things that are most important. Why don't I get it? Doctor, heal thyself, right? So I thought, I've got to step back and go to the things that are most important. And so I began, when my baby would feed, to read my core phase book, my scriptures, my Book of Mormon, Doctrine and Covenants. And things started changing. And all of a sudden, I was able to keep things in order. And it wasn't ideal. We weren't living in an ideal situation. But all of a sudden, I could handle it. And I was enjoying motherhood a lot more than I had been when I was just, in crisis. I was actually getting dressed a lot more, which was good. And my husband was also in the middle of starting a new business, and he ate a lot of cold cereal. And so after a while, I was actually able to fix meals. It was a great thing. And all of a sudden, after allowing myself some time for core phase things, working on relationships, working on order, allowing myself a little bit of time to play with a hobby and reading a completely fluff book that had nothing to do with my education, slowly I got back into scholar in depth. And all of a sudden I was like, oh, I'm here. And it's so much nicer. Whew, so much better. Now, there was another time in my life when I was in a major crisis as well, but I did it right. I immediately went to my core book. I immediately revisited core phase. And I was able to live amidst complete crisis and have some of the best educational years of my life. So it's not about we can't learn in crisis. We can learn in crisis, but it's how we've dealt with it. If we have gone and revisited core and dealt with relationship issues and dealt with order issues and all those things and revisited, then we can do a lot of great things in crisis. I mean, that's when people are, rise to the occasion and do amazing things in the middle of crisis, but they have got to have dealt with some of those core things first. So when you hit a crisis, allow yourself time to go back to core. And don't freak out thinking, oh my gosh, my kids should be studying. But, we just moved. Allow your kids time to read the scriptures, work on relationships. Let's just do chores and let's play and let's just be together as a family. And all of a sudden, you'll be all back on track in love of learning and scholar phase, and it will be great. Realize that you want to make sure that your children have a lot of experience revisiting core phase. Because you want to have a certain kind of 30-year-old, 40-year-old child who isn't having huge problems with relationships because they've dealt with them throughout their whole life. Their whole life they revisited that with their family. They know exactly what to do when they're in the middle of crisis. They immediately go to their scriptures. They immediately start doing the most important things. So you're teaching them as you go back through and revisit core. You're teaching them how to do that in their own lives. And you're going to be revisiting it, like I said, with new skills. You may be able to fix a relationship problem as you revisit it in core because you have now scholar skills that you didn't have before. And now you're able to go, oh, this is what I need to do in my relationship with my sister-in-law, or whatever it is. Maybe it's a work issue. Maybe you have this problem at work that you've never been able to figure out how to make this management thing work, and all of a sudden you revisit that with core phase skills, and boom, you fix it. There's just when we revisit core and love of learning and all those things, we do it with new skills. And we do it with all the learning that we had just gained. And we're able to fix things we've never fixed before. Now, I want to give you a little way of finding out where you are, just in case you're wondering where you are. So, I want you to pretend that you have 6 weeks all to yourself. Your children are taken care of, your business is taken care of, you have all the money in the world, whatever it takes to put yourself in a place. You've already vacationed, you've been on the beach, it's been great. You've already had that experience. Now you have 6 weeks all to yourself to do whatever you want. What is it that springs into your mind as a thing you just can't wait to do? If it's cleaning out closets, if it's reading your scriptures, then you might be in core phase. Enjoy it. Build your spectrum. Build that relationship with God. Really figure out how to get answers from the scriptures and from the Spirit. And enjoy that process. If you thought to yourself, oh, I have all these little things. I want to try horseback riding. I want to try this. I want to try that. And you're thinking about all these little things that you want to really study, that you've always wanted to do, or things that you really enjoy and want to get back to, you're probably in love of learning. Great. Have a fabulous time. Explore, discover, enjoy it. If you thought to yourself, I want to do something that is so hard. I want to do oral exams. I want to write that article I've been scared to write for so long and put it in that publish it in that homeschooling journal or whatever it is. I want to, if you're thinking about doing something that has scared you for a really long time and you just want to do it, you might be in scholar phase. That's awesome. Enjoy it. Now let me just give you one thing I would like you to do. Allow yourself to be inspired. Too often we get so worried about other things, we don't allow ourselves to be inspired. Look for ways to inspire yourself. Maybe you need to go to a concert, maybe you need to do whatever you need to do. Look for ways to inspire yourself, because that's how you get excited about doing whatever you're doing in your phase. It's what you do for your children. You want to inspire your children to greatness. You need to allow yourself to be inspired to greatness. I've found that as I've talked to people about adult phases, I've given, you know, the people feel like they all of a sudden have permission to do what they've always wanted to do. I hope that hasn't been that long for you to finally get permission to do exactly what you know you should be doing. Because Heavenly Father's been telling you over and over and over, this is what you should be doing. And I'm going to give you permission, if you need an expert, to give you permission. I'm giving you permission to be in core phase, be in love of learning, be in scholar phase and enjoy it, and allow yourself to be inspired. Thank you. Okay, so questions. Yes, in the back. Okay, a couple things. You're asking, when is it okay to require, and is it okay to require? Two things. One is that there will always be requirements in core phase things. Core phase things, it's all about requirements. God requires quite a bit in core phase issues, if you know what I mean. How we treat other people, how much, you know, service, not doing certain things, doing certain things. There are a lot of requirements in core phase things. Providing for your family is a core phase issue. That's one of our stewardships that Heavenly Father has given to us. And therefore, yeah, there are some requirements that are involved there. There are some requirements in motherhood as well. So, yeah, there are some requirements. There are a lot of them, and there are core phase requirements. Now, when we're talking about leadership education, to the extent that you want leadership education to occur in your home, then, and this inspiration is used. Realize that when requirement is used, compulsion, force, whenever that's used in an educational setting, you will always run the risk of the consequence of requiring, and that is a fighting against that, coming up and saying no, I don't want to, being defensive about it, and when that happens, there will be. Basically, you'll keep yourself from learning. So realize you're going to run the risk. Now, you may feel like, I've got to do this because I know my son has to do certain things or whatever it is. And you just may ponder it with your husband and pray about it and decide, we need to require this. And that's because you're the expert in your home. Just realize the principle is, in educational things, inspire, not require. And to the extent that you do that, leadership education will occur in your home. And realize that it's okay if you only have like 60% leadership education. If that's what you've chosen, that's what you have. And that's okay. So you don't have to be 100%ers. You don't have to be the perfect A-plus leadership education household. You decide between you and your spouse what your children need from you and what you're able to give to them, and you do that. And you follow through with that. But, you know, so yes, there will be some requiring and definitely in core phase things. And you may decide to do that in academic things, but that needs to be a choice. You need to understand that when you make that choice, there will be consequences. Yes?
As a follow-up to that, if you've got children who are in love of learning, and I know with my kids, my love of learners, they're much more, they take structure a lot better. So we've begun to have them set goals for the week. Mm-hmm. And then we require them to fulfill those goals. And as you talked about being in love of learning as an adult and each day sort of saying, so, what do I feel like doing today? And I allow my kids to do that to a point, but ultimately by Friday, they're supposed to have, you know, checked off all those things they said they were going to do on Monday for the week. Is that something that's...
Okay, so you're talking about, I just want to have to repeat the question for the recording. You're talking about requiring and love of learning and goal setting and how that coincides with that. The principle is structure your time, not your content. And so I would definitely say if they said, I'm going to study for 2 hours a day, that is definitely what you hold them to. In addition, if they say, I really want to study this thing, piano or whatever it is, and you've made a contract with them that, you know, you're going to pay for lessons or whatever, that, yeah, they need to have agreed to a certain amount of time, but realize that in Love of Learning, as a mentor, mentoring children in Love of Learning, your job is to ensure that they do not set goals that they cannot achieve. I mean, I have had students that come into my office and say, okay, here are the goals I want to set. I want to do this, and they have these goals that are like, whew. And I say, great. And what I'm going to actually hold you to as far as your word is concerned, when your integrity is on the line, is this. And if you can do all this, fabulous. But I'm going to hold you to this. So as a mentor in Love of Learning, you want to hold them to, you know, if you want to study this thing, you don't want to say you've got to study it for 6 months. You want to make sure that they're setting goals for certain things. Like they really want to make this diagram of what ancient Egypt looked like at this particular time, whatever it is. And you say, great, that's going to be your goal. Then, you know, I'm going to hold you to getting at least half of that done this week. If that's what they say, I want to get the whole thing done. Great. Well, I'm going to hold you to getting half of it done. So if you're going to set goals, just make sure that you're, as a parent, you're very, listening to the spirit and making sure that you're not making them set goals that they're going to fail on. Because Love of Learning is about creating confidence. And the worst thing we can do is make them feel like a failure because they didn't do everything they thought they could do, because they will dream really big. And your job is to make sure that they can do that they actually do the things that they can do. Does that make sense? So you'll need to decide how much you're going to require. Down if we're talking about ideal, I would definitely require structured time. Exactly how much time are you going to study every day? Those are the things I would definitely require. If you want to add other things to that, that's your choice. Yes.
You didn't talk about it, but I'm just kind of curious. How do you know if you're in depth phase?
Okay. In order to get into depth phase, you have got to have a fantastic... How do you get into depth phase? That's the question. Okay. You have to have a fantastic breadth of knowledge that you have filled in scholar phase, because in scholar phase you're about filling in all your holes. So you may have done really well in literature and science and mathematics, but you have this huge gaping hole in art history or chemistry or whatever it is. You have this hole, maybe in foreign languages. And so you spend your time in scholar phase filling in those holes, and so you have a very great foundation. The only way to go deep into anything is to have breadth. You can't just go straight deep into something. You'll find that whenever you study anything, it's always like this. The more you go deep, the more you pull in from other areas. You cannot study even motorcycle maintenance without getting into a lot of other things. So the more you get into it, the more you're going to need breadth. And so that's what scholar phase is for. You will find that when your breadth is at a good place and you filled in your holes, you will naturally desire to go deep into certain subjects. It doesn't mean you're only going to choose one and it's a master's program and that's all you're going to do. It just means you're now going to go really deep and you're not going to be so concerned about breadth and holes. Does that make sense? Does that answer your question? Okay. Yes.
If you find yourself in core phase or revisiting core phase, but your children are in Love of Learning, do you... Put everything, like if I need to clean up my closet, do this move, or if I have a box, do you put everything on hold, or do you still let school go on as normal?
It would depend on how much the crisis involved the whole family. If it's your crisis...
If your husband breaks his back.
Yeah. If it's a personal crisis that isn't going to involve the whole family, then it's okay for you to just do core phase things. You're still going to be inspiring, because now you're inspiring them on how much you enjoy working. You know, or whatever it is.
Even though you'll still have that time with them when they're
right.
learning during their
right.
structured time.
Because during your structured time, you'll be doing something else.
Okay.
You may be studying the scriptures. You may be reading, the Peace Giver. So you may be doing other types of things. You're still going to be learning. Core phase is still about learning.
Right.
But there are times when the crisis involves everybody. I talked to a woman who came to me after a lecture, and she said, you know, I just went through this really, really messy divorce, and I want to get into Scholar Faith, but my kids just keep pulling me. They just keep wanting me to spend time with them. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, your family just went through this humongous crisis. Everything they thought that was really true fell apart. All of a sudden, mommy and daddy no longer live in the same house. And if it was really messy, there were some other problems that were, you know, surrounding that. Her kids needed her badly. They needed to know what was right, what was wrong, because all of a sudden things they thought that were absolutely on their spectrum were not. And so whenever we go through crisis, even if it's moving, it uproots children, and things that they thought were on the ends, like we're always going to live here and here, my friends are always going to be here, aren't. And even though they're really not on the spectrum of right, wrong, good, bad, they put them there. And so there will be things that you need to, you know, time when you need to spend time with your children going over the things that are most important. But like I said, if it's a crisis that only affects you or maybe you and another child, then you don't have to pull the whole family into core phase. All right. One quick question, and then we have to stop. Okay. So how do you get from love of learning to scholar phase? How's the transition work? Very quickly. Basically, it's okay to be in scholar phase for 2 days and back in love of learning. That happens all the time with our kids. So the times when you feel the most urgency to get prepared for your mission, then allow yourself to study at that time. When you don't feel the urgency anymore, then pull back. You may be going in and out of scholar phase and back into love of learning for a year. Could be 2 years. But whenever you feel the urgency, and you will know when it's just like, I think I might do something important in this world, and I have got to study, there's that time when you just feel this, there's enough time, I've got to hurry. That kind of feeling, then hurry and jump on it and study a bunch of things. You know what I mean? Because that's when you need to use that as an impetus to study, and allow yourself to come back and forth. I've enjoyed my time with you. Thank you.
LDS Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.